And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me jump on the phones. I see that line one, we got Wolverine Dan. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing much better than you are. Thank you for going to sit through all of that for me, because I didn't watch it. I told you last time we talked. It's your show and maybe Gutfeld, because Gutfeld makes me laugh. But you give me my information. You are totally correct about they'll throw us under the bus immediately, just what they did with their former president.
Yeah.
See, they knew he had some issues. God willing, that never happens to me. I have dementia or whatever. I hope it never happens, okay? I hope I go quickly and it's done. But, you know, things like that happen, and when you see somebody like that, they need help. You need to put them in good positions, not very difficult positions. And being a president of the United States is the most difficult position you can be in. So with that said, you know, it's going to be the same scenario. She's going to be in the basement. She's not going to do a lot of interviews. And, you know, Phil, you know, that there was a lot of cheating going on last time. I really believe there was, okay, sincerely.
Yeah.
It something smelled fishy, and I can explain a couple of things, but we all know what happened. And that could easily happen again. So they're doing the same playbook. They threw him to the wolves, the former president now almost, because they wanted to see if they could stick and he was going to be good enough to beat President Trump. Now, we still have to deal with the court thing with President Trump. And Judge Marchand or Margarine or Mushy Pants, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Okay. That fool is going to put him in prison. You watch. He's going to try to put him in prison. Okay. So everybody, what you're seeing is this. You're seeing a businessman that doesn't have to do this. And the reason why sometimes he's not popular, because he says some stupid things. He should be more diplomatic. He's not. But he does get things done, and he does work for the people of the United States of America, unlike a lot of politicians do not. They work for the lobbyists and because they want their money, okay? Simple as that. So bottom line is, President Trump really is working for us, everybody. You might not like what he says, but we were doing quite well until COVID got here, and that's a China thing that who knows happened to that, okay? Because we all know China, you know, they had a Frankenstein virus. They made it into a Frankenstein virus, and all of a sudden it slipped out of the building for some way, you know, backdoor thing. So, you know, guy, there's a lot of things going on, and think about the most conspiracy you could think of, and multiply that by two, because that's exactly what they're trying to do to you and I. And I just want what's best for everybody listening to this radio station and everybody that doesn't listen to it, because I believe in Americans and America.
But Wolverine Dan, did you drink a Red Bull before you called in?
No, I did not. You know, well, wait a minute. No, I did have an iced coffee, and I'm a little upset because my wife made me doggy-proof the backyard because we're getting my son-in-law and daughter-in-law's dog, so I doggy-proofed it so she can't get out of the backyard. So I'm a little stressed out because I'm running real fast to my workout. Yeah, middle-aged crisis, pal. That's what that is, a dog in a minivan.
Brother, that if the iced coffee and having to pooper scoop the backyard, those are first-world problems. You're doing all right.
Yeah, I guess I am. Well, you know what? There's a lot of pooper scoop in Chicago. I'm glad I'm not there.
No doubt. All right, man. Have a good workout. Right. We'll see you.
All right, brother. See you.
It got to the point that I didn't even know where we were going with all that. I love that guy. A couple of quick texts, and then I'm going to jump into my topic. James from Harvest says, I don't know what y'all think, but it looked to me that he was on some kind of drugs. He did, man. He kept smacking his mouth like it was really dry, and he didn't talk, and he was yelling the entire time. Listen, I saw the same thing. And look, I'm going to, true confession, I did not stay up and watch it. I was waiting, and I was like, I'm going to watch it. And then they kept bumping him. And then at one time, Bill Hemmer on Fox goes, well, we don't know when he's coming out, but right now they're saying that it could be basically a speech that takes place after 11 o'clock Central Time. I'm like, I got to get up at 4:50. I'm not doing this. So anyway, I basically got the cliff notes this morning. But it's still reprehensible. Jim from Grove Oak, Alabama says, hey, Colonel Phil, why is it that some folks love the truth while others seem to love lies? It depends on what tickles their fancy, my brother. They need what suits their agendas as opposed to what is actual reality. Becky from Shelby County said, did you see Mel Gibson's statement on Twitter? He said, I may be showing my age here, but I remember a time when we fought communists instead of electing them. I saw that. In fact, Becky, I was wondering the same thing. Is that really him or was that like a parody account? I've always loved Mel Gibson's acting, and I would love to think that's what he's saying. Yeah. John from Brownsboro says, Terry Crews in the movie Idiocracy was a better president than Biden. He could at least speak and gain the appreciation and support of the people. And then, wow, okay. Appreciate you, man. All right, listen. So let me kick off this topic, next-gen conservatives. You know, yesterday I had a moment on the show where I told you that I really do believe that young America is still out there and that truthfully salt of the earth quality America is still out there in general. But I was also talking about young America. I really do believe that in a time of crisis that we would still have young Americans that would show up to protect and defend. I really do believe that there are young Americans who care about this country. Now, my concern, though, is that polls show that there is a waning, if you will. There's a fading of the sentiments that I believe are necessary to the good order and discipline of a nation. I mean, you got to love where you're from. You got to love your team and be willing to support it. You got to love what your country stands for and not always be about tearing it down. You don't have to like everything, but you do have to love it. There's a difference. You can choose not to like the way things sort and go at the same time. It's like somebody in your family. You know, you wind up having a tiff with somebody in your family. You don't agree with what they said, but you still love each other. And what we're seeing right now, though, is that there is a movement among what is often referred to as Gen Z. I'll say this too. I used to do youth ministry full time. And before that, I did youth counseling. And I used to really resist the idea of branding groups with names. Gen Z, millennials, you know, Gen A, what? Okay, the boomers. But I have come to understand that there is some legitimacy in that because there are cultural trends that are, you know, socio-cultural trends that tend to reside within different age groups. You know, I was not the one who was raised with an electronic device in my hand. And so I'm less inclined to some kinds of technology or less reliant, if you will. I'm the guy who will pick up the phone and call someone as opposed to just texting them. There are things that are sort of age apparent in terms of what I grew up with, what they grew up with, what the next one grew up with. But here's the deal. I got a piece from the New York Post, came out last month. It's written by someone who refers to themselves as a Gen Zer. And they are saying they're concerned. They said, poll after poll finds that my generation is markedly less patriotic than our predecessors. It's no wonder, considering we grew up in a tumultuous political time. We're never taught why we should take pride in our country. Goes on to say, a Gallup poll from last year, meaning 2023, found that while 4 in 10 American adults overall say they are extremely proud to be an American, that when you break it down by age, only 18% of those that would fall in the Gen Z category are saying that they are extremely proud to be an American. So in other words, it drops. While you might have an average of 40%, that it's less than 20% within Gen Z. Says another survey from a group called the Democracy Fund found that even more startling results, saying that 3/4 of Gen Z say the nation requires significant change and that America is an unfair society. Okay. Says perhaps worst of all, 40% of Gen Z says that America's founding fathers are better described as villains than heroes. Yeah, there's a fundamental misrepresentation that has been allowed to pervade. And truthfully, it's not just a misrepresentation. Sometimes it's just a complete gap in the information. Because one of the things they point out here is that according to the NAEP studies, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, that's where they rate education in the various states, that among eighth graders, history and civics are at all-time lows. They're at the lowest recorded level since the assessment began back in 1994. It says just 14% of students hit the proficient mark in history, only 22% did in civics. And then ask the question is this: how can a generation that does not know their own nation's history or how the country functions take pride in being an American? It's a great point. It's a great point. It goes on to talk about, too, that they are constantly berated these days with issues on social media and other things that give them cause to be a more depressed generation. I don't know if that's true, because truthfully, like just this morning, I sat down with a young couple, and I was just amazed at the quality of this young couple. I can think of my own kids, and I know how they are, and they are absolutely everything that I'd be looking for in young adults and their spouses. It's just amazing. So when I would say is within my circle, I don't see it, but yet they tell me the polls say it. Okay. There's a group called TPUSA, which we're going to be talking to a guy named Jacob Lawrence here in a little while. He's the field agent for TPUSA, the field rep, I'm sorry, in Alabama. But TPUSA was founded by Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk, by the way, if you ever sat down and watched a Charlie Kirk, like one of his spontaneous videos where he's, you know, conversing, like he does a thing where he'll actually be in a crowd of people that hate him with a microphone, and he'll just let them ask him questions. As long as they'll let him answer, he'll let them ask any question they want. And he'll just wear them out in a good way. Respectful, matter of fact, knows his stuff. You can't argue with him. And at some point, most of them just either get frustrated and leave, or they convert. But he got confronted yesterday at the DNC. So Charlie Kirk walks into the DNC, and lo and behold, a kid from Georgia, who's apparently the president of Young Democrats, has basically accosted him. Said, you're anti-patriotic, you're anti-constitutional, you're crashing our party because you tried to obstruct democracy. What are you talking about? Charlie Kirk walks in the room and draws fire from a young liberal who can't even stand his presence. Does the kid not get the whole idea that he's saying anti-constitutional and yet he's trying to shout down a man's First Amendment rights? But there's some stats that go along with this. When we get back from this break, I'm going to give you some stats that do indicate, though, that the Gen Z generation is still very much engaged. In fact, the interesting thing is that while they may be less patriotic, which is concerning, they're also more engaged in the electoral process than their previous generations. We got to figure this out. Got to crack this code. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, a guy named Jacob Lawrence, who is the field rep for TPUSA here in Alabama, is going to be on the line with us. On the text lines, Wesley from Rockford, Alabama says, hey, Phil, I can see the poll results about Gen Z in my son and his wife. They only text and are electronic gadget reliant. I stay on him about voting, but his reply is always, whatever's going to happen will happen. I tell him that if everyone had that attitude and didn't vote, then yeah, that would be true. That's why you need to vote. Well, just stay on him, Wesley. I mean, the right way to handle it is just love him, but keep reminding him. And, you know, for that matter, if you live close enough, go drag him to the polls with you and say, go vote. It's a constitutional right. People have died for it. Jenny from Lacey Springs says, on an encouraging note, I attended Backstage Live in Nashville last week. Over half the audience was young people, 20 to 30s. Made me feel hopeful. There you go. Well, listen, speaking of which, so a piece I've got from thehill.com talks about what are often referred to as the Gen Zers. All right. And typically speaking, you're talking about 18 to 24, 18 to 27, somewhere in that category. And this is a group now that, while we may have polls showing that there's less patriotism, that you're also finding more of them that are engaged in the electoral process. That's interesting. So, I mean, that on the one hand, that might concern me because maybe they're engaged for the reasons that I don't stand for, right? But the piece I've got here from The Hill says, the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement estimates that 40.8 million members of Gen Z will be eligible to vote this time around. 40.8 million. That's a lot. Including 8.3 that are newly eligible, like they just turned voting age. And of those, there's a large number that are considered people of color, meaning that there's an age demographic and a racial demographic that is very attractive if you can begin to engage people within those certain demographics. The USA Today previously reported that Gen Z's topics of interest were foreign policy and the Israel-Hamas war. I don't trust USA Today, to be honest with you. USA Today wants a slant. They always want a slant. But along with Donald Trump's convictions, they say, is another big one. Okay. Historically, it says young voters have tended to have lower turnout, but this year, young voters have stepped into the political sphere in significant ways. Now, another piece that I've got here comes from Tufts University. Tufts University says that they have a thing called the Circle, where they keep track of all the demographic data related to, you know, the census and different age groups and what they're standing for and what they're doing. And apparently, in the 2022 midterms, Gen Z had a higher turnout than each of the previous groupings of people, Gen X and millennials, that had gone before them. In other words, they went something like 5% more to the polls in 2022 as a voting age group than did the previous voting age groups that you know, sociologists want to put together. So the bottom line, I look at this and I think this is fascinating. How do we captivate the minds of young conservatives? How do we grab hold of them and say, it's worth it, y'all? Your country's worth fighting for. And listen, it's also okay to be proud to be an American. And how do you engage them on this process? Well, first of all, I think part of it starts at home. I do. The other part of it starts at schools. We've got to get back to the point that we actually teach history and civics, and that we don't allow revisionist history to be inserted in, like 1619 Project and whatever else. It can't be about agenda-driven history. Let's teach them about people who lived and died and worked, enslaved, and did the things, good and bad, that built this nation. Teach them about things like, you know, Eli Whitney and the cotton gin. Teach them about things like the Civil Rights Movement. Teach them about World War II. Teach them about the Revolution. Give them a broad picture of the growth of their nation. Teach them about the race for the moon. Teach them about the greatness of democracy and the value of the vote and what the Constitution means. You teach them these things. I mean, Scripture is very clear, right? On matters of faith, it says, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Why would it be any different about other things? Raise up a child in the way they should go in terms of a love for the Lord. Yes, when they get old, they will not depart from it. How about this? You raise up a child from early on to love their country and to be aware of the value of where they live and what they can contribute to it, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Right now, we're looking at stats that clearly show historical data for ages 18 to 29 shows that what we're looking at is one of the most engaged groupings in modern history. What will they go to the polls to do, though? That's the thing. When they go to the polls, when 41 million members of Gen Z who are eligible to vote decide to vote, what will they vote for? What do they care about? The liberals know this. If they can grab our kids' minds, then they will grab the next generation of leadership and the next levels of Bernie Sanders. If the AOCs of the world can go from being a barista knowing nothing to a congresswoman knowing nothing, then what does it mean? I say this, let's find a way to engage them where they are and who they are and grow the next level of conservative. Gen conservatives, next gen conservatives is what I'm saying. Coming right back, TPUSA is Jacob Lawrence. We'll have a conversation. Be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two here on Taco Tuesday. But listen, I've been in the first part of the show, Dipper number one, talking about next-gen conservatives because they are out there. They are out there, and they are a force to be reckoned with, and we need them, and we need more of them, to be honest. And I just gave you some stats that said that what is referred to by sociologists as Gen Z is by and large, they say by some polls, to be less patriotic, less enthused about the world, less enthused about their own country, and yet other polls clearly indicate they are also more electorally engaged than the previous sociology lumped individuals like millennials and Gen X. Okay, all that to say, Gen Z's got it going on, and there are true conservatives in the mix. One of the organizations that does an amazing job with this is TPUSA, Turning Point USA, founded by Charlie Kirk. And on the phone with us right now is Jacob Lawrence, who's the North Alabama, Mississippi field rep for TPUSA. Hails from Mobile originally. We just found out off the air we're both South Alabama graduates. So, Jacob Lawrence, how you doing?
Doing well, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for making some time. I think it's worthwhile for folks to hear what TPUSA is and does first. So just go ahead and spin us up on that.
Yeah, of course. So Turning Point USA was founded by Charlie Kirk in 2012 following the re-election of Barack Obama. We exist to go onto college campuses and to make an impact for the conservative movement. We identify conservative leaders on campus. We encourage them to educate their fellow students and mobilize them within the community.
So you guys are on, I mean, obviously you're the field rep in North Alabama and Mississippi. So you're basically on college campuses right now in Alabama, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Which ones do you have chapters on?
We have a chapter at the University of North Alabama, University of Alabama, Shelton State Community College, University of Alabama Huntsville, University of Alabama Birmingham, Jacksonville State, and several others. I think we have around 15 to 16 in Alabama and Northern Alabama.
Okay, good. Well, we're a red state. Obviously, it's you know, some would say it might be easier, even though, I mean, technically, like University of Alabama, you got kids come from all over the nation to go to school there. But even in blue states, do you tend to have TPUSA chapters?
Yes, sir. We have reps across the country, even in places like California, Colorado, stuff like that. And they're doing very well with our conservative students there.
Okay, so you're a TPUSA staffer, a field rep. So what do y'all do? Because one of the things that I was talking about earlier on the show before you came on was we've got to engage the next generation conservatives. We've got to give them reasons to be conservative. I mean, what do y'all do, actually?
So in the day-to-day life, I go to campus every day. So Monday through Thursday, I'm on campus every day at one school. Like today, I was at the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. Today, we set up tables, we interact with students, and we schedule events such as I'll be hosting Riley Gaines at the University of Ole Miss in October. So we host these big events on campus to engage the youth vote.
So you ever been shouted down or had had libs show up and decide that you're not welcome?
I haven't been yelled at much. I have some I'm a communist to me, but not much as you would think.
Well, okay, so I asked that because I know that you're, you know, the head of the organization, Charlie Kirk, deals with that on a regular basis. Which, by the way, I mean, he's like the master at being able to have dialogue when they don't want a dialogue. what's your thought? I mean, so you're actually a field rep in an organization that works with your age group. So how long out of college are you personally?
I'm about a semester out. So I started with the organization in December.
Okay. So basically, I guess what I would ask then is, what are you seeing? Is there a movement for conservatism in the next generation?
Well, the statistics would show us that this generation of young men is the most conservative in the recent decades. We see a lot of young men are hungry for masculinity, they're hungry for faith, and they're hungry for the conservative movement. The problem is that we've seen the opposite with the female demographic on campus.
Really?
So we see a lot of males that are super active, wanting to get involved and be patriotic about our country, but we see that the female demographic is not the same.
So do you attribute that to anything? Is there anything that gives you a clear indication as to why that would be?
I believe that the abortion issue has been weaponized to change their opinion about the country and about the conservative movement as a whole.
Well, that may be, which I look at it and go, I'm so pro-life. Me personally, I'm so pro-life that I don't even care about what their arguments are for pro-choice for the most part. But do you see that as being like a big campaign issue for your age demographic?
Maybe so. It seems to be a big issue on campuses. It's definitely one of the hotter topics on campus that gets brought up basically on a regular basis daily.
It brought up in what way? Like we want more choice. It's my body. Or is it more along the lines of tell me why?
Tell me why. It's usually on the why. Tell me why. And then you get the classic pro-choice argument of, well, you're pro-life out the womb, but are you supporting these policies to help people when they can't pay for their rent and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. In your generation working with college students, what about Biden's payoff of student loans? Has that been a big deal?
I haven't seen much of that on college campuses. It hasn't come up a lot.
Well, I look at it and go, dang, man. I mean, if it's that big of a deal, then you would think they'd want more free stuff and not just that. But all right. So what would you say are the biggest issues? I mean, I can look at polls and say, here's what America says are the big issues. But let's break it down just to the so-called Gen Zers. What are the big issues that they care about in this election cycle right now?
I believe that one of the biggest concerns for the youth Americans today is the possibility if they'll ever be able to own a home, especially with what's going on with the housing market right now.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of the economic issues facing college students are a little bit distant since they're still in college. Some of them are not working. They're not in their full-time jobs. But there is a worry that when they graduate college, there will not be jobs for them when they get out. So the economy is definitely, it seems sort of distant, but they're definitely worried about it.
Okay, so economy in general, but then also specify the housing market as being a big chunk of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, okay. You know, I look back at, you know, previous generations, my own generation and others, and then there's the call to arms. Like, so let me ask you this. One of the things that we're seeing right now is that military recruiting is at an all-time low. Do you attribute that to anything in your generation that can be addressed?
I believe that the reason why military recruitment is an all-time low is because we've seen a generation grow up with the indoctrination of the public school system and at the college campus where they've been taught by their educators to not love their country and that their country has made mistakes in the past that they cannot atone for.
Okay, so that goes back to that poll I had earlier that said that there's less of a love for country among Gen Z. You think that's accurate?
I believe that the educators have tried to push that on campus. I see a lot more vocal, patriotic, but there's also that element of they don't want to be ostracized from their social groups, so they tend to be less vocal sometimes for their country, and I think that's the difference. Is some people are just, they support the country and they support the conservative movement, but they're not vocal about it, and they certainly won't take a stand on it.
All right, what about matters of faith? Where do you think your generation is in terms of matters of faith? Is there an uprising of it right now? Is there a groundswell, or is it waning right now?
I would argue that it's getting larger, it's getting bigger on campus. It's definitely a big issue, especially with Turning Point obviously being a Christian organization.
Right.
We have a lot of Turning Point faith materials we have on tables and stuff. But we see a lot of great engagement with that, especially on the abortion issue and on pedophiles in school systems and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, and I hope so, because faith, you know, God and country. I mean, when I say faith, I'm really talking about the Christian faith. But when I think God and country, I think that's, I mean, those are building blocks. Those are cultural, social building blocks that in their absence are going to get filled by something. The vacuum never remains open. So, all right. I'm going to go a couple steps further here. What do you think is the most important thing that old guys like me need to know about your generation and inspiring them to do the next great thing?
They want to feel a part of something. They want to feel like they're a part of something greater than themselves. At Turning Point USA, what we try to build is we try to build the it factor on campus. Well, we are the place to be and the event to be at. They want to feel like they're doing something beyond themselves because they're craving that. Like we were saying earlier, Phil, is that when they replace, we do not want to replace faith with the conservative movement, but when we combine faith with the conservative movement and saying you can save your country, and most importantly, you can educate your peers on what really matters most, we see that we have a lot of buy-in from students when we say this is a massive mission to save America and not just on your local college campus.
All right. That's good stuff. So let me ask you, is there something that, like I said a while ago, old guys like me, is there something like old guys like me or old guys like Trump? I mean, I had mentors in my life. There were older guys that I looked up to. Is there a reasonable expectation that an older generation can still be there for the younger generation and sort of encourage that process? Or is it simply being grown within the age group, like you're working with them because you're all the same age group?
I believe there's definitely a place for the older generation to work with the younger generation. On college campuses, we encourage the older generation to build a community with the younger generations, because most of the time the younger generation has the energy and has the physical ability, but the older generation has the wisdom and the knowledge of how to do things. So we can try to combine both of them, because a lot of students can walk around and door knock and get things done, but they might not always know where to go. And that's where we encourage the partnership between both groups to work together.
Okay, so y'all do as an organization actually encourage that process?
Especially with events, yes, sir. We encourage with events that we encourage our students to go to local community events and have their civic duty.
Okay, well, I tell you what, listen, here's the deal. We got to take a break right now. That's the way we have to run the show. We got to keep it alive and kicking. But Jacob, can you hang on during the break and come back and tell some folks you got some things going on or how they can get involved if they want to, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hang tight. We're with Jacob Lawrence right now talking about next-gen conservatives. Jacob is with TPUSA, which is one of the leading organizations in the nation for bringing up the next round of Gen Z conservatives. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, straightening out the pins on truth grenades. All right, going right back to the phones real quick. I want to get a chance to wrap up, and also I want to get a chance for him to tell folks how they can get involved. Jacob Lawrence is a field rep for North Alabama and Mississippi for TPUSA, Turning Point USA, working with basically the younger generation of next-gen conservatives. Hey, Jacob, so let me ask you this. What do you got going on in the near future? And how can folks get involved? What are y'all looking for? Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course, Phil. So in October 29th, we're going to be hosting Riley Gaines at the University of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be hosting a voter registration drive September 17th at Jacksonville State University. So we're going to be registering voters at Jacksonville State to do their civic duty and vote.
Yeah, good deal. And if folks are on any campus that doesn't already have a TPUSA, can they reach out and say, hey, we'd like to talk about getting one here?
Yes, sir. So if you're involved at a college campus or even a high school campus, because we do have high school chapters as well. If you're involved, if you go to there, you're a student, you can go to tpusa.com/get involved. If you're a parent or a grandparent, encourage your child or your grandchild to fill out that form, get involved on their campus, start a chapter, and help the conservative movement of the next generation.
Wow, that's awesome, man. And I tell you what, I appreciate what you do. Thank you for, I'll just tell you right now, you personally, thank you for what you do, because we can't do it. I know for a fact what it means to have volunteers, but I also know what it means for people to set aside other things they could be doing in life to spend time on the staff of organizations like this, making a difference. So thanks for what you do, man.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen, Jacob, we'll have you back on again sometime soon. I'm glad we made the connection for today's show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for inviting me on.
Absolutely. Take care. So, listen, this is the thing, y'all. Let's wrap this up. But next-gen conservatives, they're real, and they're out there. And some of them are already actively engaged, like Jacob and others in different college campuses that are, and even high schools. And by the way, TPUSA is one of those that makes no bones about the fact that Jesus is Lord and America is great all at one time. They're being branded right now as an organization by liberals as those MAGA, you know, Christian nationalists. What a ridiculous thing to say. MAGA means make America great again. Christian is awesome, and nationalist just means you love your country. So it's not scary, but they want to make it scary. The bottom line is this. When you and I are gone, we need to know the next generation is going to carry the torch. The next generation has to have a love for country. They have to have a cause and a purpose. They have to have the ability to plug in. And they have to have the ability to have voice. So give them the voice now, because we're seeing in the polls. We're seeing in the polls right now that too many of them don't love country. Fewer of them love their country, according to some polls, than previous generations. And yet more of them are getting electorally involved in politics than ever before. What does that tell you? That means you've got more people getting involved that perhaps don't carry the values that we would want them to. As an organization, Right Side Media, as an organization here that loves country and loves Jesus, and I'm telling you right now, the two are allowed to go hand in hand, and they should. Organizations like TPUSA are out there wearing it out right now. You got TPUSA, you got College Republicans, you got YAF, Young America's Foundation. You got groups like PragerU and Daily Wire and others that are doing things. TPUSA even has a PAC right now where they're helping conservative candidates called TP Action. They got another brand of their organization called TP Faith, which is all about basically growing in your faith in Christ. And so these organizations are out there. They're making a dent, but you can't do without them. And you and I one day we're going to be gone. I'm at that time of life where I can see the end from here, if you know what I'm saying. And I look at it and think, I just want to know that it's outside my bubble. It's outside of just the few young conservatives that are in my family and my close proximity of friends. I want to know there's more out there. I would hope that, I mean, this show stands for the idea that I call it the mission and the message, is that every single day we do the four E's. We educate, enlighten, and empower and entertain people on what it means to be a conservative in today's world. But that's the mission. It's driven by the message that Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and life's worth living. Give them that, and we'll be okay. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.